The next reading comes from the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, Jonah 1 through 9, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Here's the reading. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them, and Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish." The sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" "I am a Hebrew," he replied. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This is the word of the Lord. Before I begin, first I want to say I am so excited to be here. I told Barrett that I think the frozen chosen Presbyterians won't seem so frozen anymore after having preached to English people. And after this Pilates session that you had this morning, I think that that's right, though the air conditioning here is making me a little frozen myself. But the other thing I want to say is I'm extremely thankful for Barrett. I don't see, where did you go? You're over there. So I am thankful that you've invited me here. I'm thankful to be here and that you've entrusted this task to me. So thank you. But to kick off our Bible study this week on the book of Jonah, I want to look at the whole story. It's the whole story, and not just that whale-swallowing prophet part, that makes Jonah preach. Barrett said, "I have about an hour to do this, I think." No. Fortunately for you, you can cover the whole book of Jonah in just a few keywords. Not a few, some words. You can tell the whole story with some of these words. Words that keep reoccurring throughout the whole book of Jonah. You see, the Bible, it doesn't highlight, it doesn't underline, it doesn't capitalize, it doesn't even have red letters. But like a patient parent, when it wants you to hear something, or like a nagging spouse, when it wants you to hear something, it does it repeatedly. So the first word today that it says repeatedly is Tarshish. So look at the first verse. It says, or the second verse. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and he went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Notice how many times it says that Jonah is headed to Tarshish. And it says it all in one verse, three times fast, which is not an easy feat. I want to see how many of us can say Tarshish, Tarshish, Tarshish three times fast. Go ahead. Why is it telling us? That was okay. We'll try it again. Why does it tell us that Jonah was going to Tarshish three times in one verse? Well, first lesson of this scripture is that the people of God are hard of hearing. And we often need to be told things repeatedly, and that's why we see in the prophets repeating themselves again and again and again and again. Tarshish, Tarshish, Tarshish. Now, we don't know exactly where Tarshish was. It could be on the coast of southern Turkey as we know it today, or it could be as far as Spain. But what is important is that for the ancient Israelite, it's on the edge and the end of the known world. And what that means is that Jonah is going to Tarshish to get away from God. Twice we find in the first chapter, Jonah says this. He's fleeing from the Lord. He's running away from the Lord. Verse 3 and verse 10. And twice we're also told that he's going. He's going away. So you might say we have two synonyms for the same idea. Jonah is fleeing. He is running. So if you're going to tell this story in a shorter form, you would put it like this. To Tarshish, 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 Jonah runs, runs, runs. Let's try that again, everyone. To Tarshish, 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 Jonah runs, runs, runs. What's he running from? Well, it's clear he's running from the presence of the Lord. It's a little obscure, but it says in the first three verses, it says the presence of the Lord three times. Verse 2, we're told that Jonah is going to preach to Nineveh because their wickedness has come up before the face of the Lord, before the presence of the Lord. Then, soon after this, we're told that Jonah flees. What's he running from? The presence of the Lord. He goes down and gets on a ship to Joppa. Why? To get away from the presence of the Lord. Now, this repetition of presence, it beats like the heart pulse of the whole book of Jonah. Just as the Lord's presence is throughout the book of Jonah, so the Lord's presence is throughout all the world. And that's what Jonah is having trouble with. You see, God is both present to the Hebrews and the Gentiles. God has mercy upon Israel and the world. God is the God of Israel and the nations. How do we make sense of this? How do we make sense that when we invite folks to church, we say, you should come to church. The presence of the Lord is here. Well, isn't the presence of the Lord out there too? We have to affirm both. And the way we can do that is by saying that there are two types of presence. On one hand, you had God's covenantal presence. This is God's specific self-giving to his people. Adam and Eve enjoyed this presence when they walked in the Garden of Eden. Israel enjoyed this presence in the wilderness with the tabernacle, and the Jewish people enjoyed it in the temple. Later on, they enjoyed it again when Jesus Christ was the Word of God made in the flesh, and today we enjoy the presence of the Lord in this place through the Holy Spirit. God's covenantal presence. We enjoy God directly and intimately through word and sacrament and song. But on the other hand, there's God's omnipresence, his all presence. It's a big theological word, but we know it. We've heard it in that famous VBS hymn. I'll push the mic away while I make reference to this. He's got the whole world. We'll work on this one. Yeah, that's it. That's what we mean. God is everywhere. It was still better than English, the English stuff. No, God's presence is everywhere. And yet, it's also somewhere very specific. Jonah's problem, Israel's problem, the church's problem, is that sometimes we enjoy God's covenantal presence so much that we forget that God is out there among the Gentiles, present to those other people, the world. And relatedly, when we forget that we who enjoy that covenant presence have a responsibility of going out and sharing the news of God to the world. So if you wanted to summarize our story so far, you might put it like this. To Tarshish, 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 Jonah runs, runs, runs from the presence, presence, presence of the Lord. But the good news is God won't let it happen. That's what happens when you get covenanted to God. He just won't let go. So when Jonah tries to flee from the Lord, we're told, hurls a great wind upon the sea. Now the word great here is critical. God called Jonah to go where? To that great city called Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go. He got on a ship down to Joppa. So God hurled a great wind upon the sea. And what does that do? It generates a great storm. And what happens? Well, eventually he's thrown overboard, and guess what swallows him up? A whale? Nope. A great fish. What's all that to say? That is to say that God does great things, and he'll go to great lengths to make sure the covenant and the mission of God's people takes place. But there's another important word there, and that's hurl. Hurl. First, God hurls a wind at this disobedient prophet. In response, what do the sailors do? It says that they hurled all their cargo overboard because they were afraid the ship would sink and break up. When that doesn't work, what happens? Same verb, the scripture says that they hurled Jonah overboard, reluctantly. So what do we have? We have great, 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 hurled, hurled, hurled. So let's say it all together again. To Tarshish, Tarshish, Tarshish. Jonah runs, runs, runs. But the Lord goes to great, great, great lengths and hurls, hurls, hurls a wind, and Jonah is thrown overboard. But why do they throw Jonah overboard? Well, it says because the sea grew more tempestuous. That's what the old version says. Luckily, the scripture we have here today says calamitous. Calamitous, calamity, because tempestuous is hard to say three times fast. Jonah says, I know it's because of me that this great calamity has come upon you. And then in the very next verse it says, the sea grew more calamitous against them. In other words, they hurled him overboard because they were overcome with calamity, calamity, calamity. So God is in hot pursuit of his prophet with a terrible force that matches just how terrible it is when you try to break God's covenant. But this calamity, it doesn't faze Jonah. He's sleeping like Jesus amidst the storms. And the sailors, on the other hand, they're terrified. They are terrified like those disciples we find in the New Testament trying to wake Jesus up. In fact, they're so terrified, and the scripture wants you to know they're so terrified, guess what? It says it three times. Fear, fear, fear. They're afraid, afraid, exceedingly afraid, in case you weren't listening. Which makes it really ironic, because then Jonah says in verse 9, I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and dry land. Or literally it says, I fear the Lord. So let's recapitulate. To Tarshish, 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 Jonah runs, 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 but the God who does great, great things hurls calamity, 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 and in fear, 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 the sailors hurl cargo and hurl Jonah over into the sea. Now, you probably won't remember all that, but if you want one word that can capture it all, it would be the word down. Down. Jonah is called to go to Nineveh. But instead, the scripture says he went down to Joppa. What's he do there? He boards a ship, and it says he goes down into the hold. What does he do there? It says he lied down. Where? In the deepest parts, down below deck. As we know, this descent does not stop there, because in the next chapter, when he's swallowed up by this whale, this great fish, it says that he went down to the bottom of the sea. Same word. So it's not an accident that in chapter 2, when he's praying out to the Lord, it says he's calling out from Sheol. An unnuanced translation might be hell. He's calling out from Sheol or hell. Dear church, the message, the point is here that down, 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 down you go when you run away from your covenant responsibilities to share the good news with the rest of the world. Down where? Down to calamity, 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 and fear, 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 and great, great, great storms. But the good news is there's another word worth hearing. And that is the word arise. Arise, Jonah is told, as soon as that fish vomits him out after his prayer. As I told Kate Fear, sometimes God is not happy with our prayers. Sometimes he wants to vomit. That fish vomits after he hears Jonah's prayer. And the first thing the Lord says when he lands on the beach is, "Arise, Jonah, and go to Nineveh." He said this before. If you remember, it's the first thing that the Lord said to Jonah. He said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." And right in between that arise and this arise, the captain goes down to that sleeping Jonah and he says, "Arise." Luckily, we have a good southern translation here, because most of us don't throw around the word arise. When we tell our kids to get out of bed in the morning, we don't say arise. We say get up. Get up. Get up, Jonah, get up. That's the message. Get up and go to Nineveh. Get up and pray. We're sinking. Get up and go to Nineveh. So we have to make this short story even shorter. It goes something like this. To Tarshish, Tarshish, Tarshish. Jonah runs, runs, runs from the presence of the Lord, but through calamity and fear and hurling, and calamity, fear and hurling, and calamity, fear and hurling, he keeps going down, 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 down. But the Lord keeps calling, "Get up, get up, get up." Well, get up and what? Get up and what? Well, the scripture says, get up and cry. Get up and cry out. You could say it, get up and proclaim, is how it's often translated. That is Jonah's mission. The translation we have uses different synonyms for the same idea. The book begins with the word of God coming to Jonah, telling him to go to Nineveh and cry out because of their wickedness. Well, Jonah, as we know, he doesn't listen. He ends up on the ship, and which I notice in the reading, where the sailors are crying out because they're going to sink. And then he ends up back on the beaches, headed to Nineveh, and it says, go and cry out. Well, he goes into the city and he cries out, and what happens? The people begin to cry out, and then the kings come down, and the king cries out and puts out a proclamation. Same verb. Cry out, cry out, cry out. Proclaim, proclaim, proclaim. Sermon's getting repetitive, eh? What is the prophet supposed to proclaim? Repent. Or you might just simply say, turn. Notice how many times we hear the word turn or repent in this short passage in chapter 3. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that's in their hands. Who knows? God may turn and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger that we do not perish. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity. God changed his mind. If you want to know more about that, come to the Bible study. But this is the mission of Jonah. Not to run, run, run to Tarshish, Tarshish, Tarshish. Not to be hurled, hurled, hurled into calamity, calamity, calamity. Not to go down, down, down. But to get up, get up, get up and proclaim, proclaim, proclaim that the world should turn, turn, turn to the God who's gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from punishment. The God who says in the New Testament text today that if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. That is the mission of Jonah. And that's the mission we see at work and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. My prayer today and this week is that we will remember gladly that it's our mission too. Amen. Amen.